You know, when you're studying in seminary, you learn a lot of great theological things. And sometimes, with all that time that you've got to study theology, even the seminarians, we can begin to wonder, gosh, will I ever use this? Will anyone ever ask me this tiny little piece of theological wisdom that I'm having to memorize or write this paper on? Well, it was kind of interesting because I thought about that last night. The priests of Topeka were gathered in solemn vigil of sorts over at Father Bill's. And we were talking, and Father Bill had mentioned that he was actually going through a drive-through window just this last week, and the person at the counter said, "Hey, are you a priest? Can you tell me about the two natures in Christ? I'm stumped on that." Like, wow. It's kind of one of those things in seminary that you would think, is anyone going to ever ask me to describe in detail the Council of Ephesus and the two natures of Christ in one person? Probably not. But then there he was, there at the drive-through window, and someone was demanding with his fries to say, "Tell me about the two natures in Christ. I want to know about the hypostatic union." So these things do happen. But that question actually has a pretty important bearing on our feast today. While it's the feast of Mary, Mother of God, it is so true in our Catholic faith that anytime we honor Mary, the Blessed Mother, it's not that we draw undue attention to her. Certainly, much attention is due to Mary. But even more, whenever we honor Mary, we're always honoring Jesus, her Son. To say anything about Mary is to ultimately say something about Jesus. Take this theological debate about the two natures of Christ. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ was fully man, 100% man, and fully God, 100% God. Those are natures, the nature of being God, the nature of being human. We, of course, have a human nature, and we have just one nature because we're just human. Jesus, however, had two natures, the nature of God, the nature of man, both together. And as the church would tell us, without mixing, without division, without separation, without confusion, it's a bit of a mystery. And that's what we call the hypostatic union, the union of the two natures of Christ under the one person of Jesus. There is one Jesus, one person, but he has two natures. It sounds like a complex thing, not the sort of thing that you'd be asked to describe at the drive-thru, but it's a very important thing to keep in mind. Because sometimes we run the risk of reducing Jesus to being just an ordinary human being who did some extraordinary things. And certainly that's the case of a lot of the historical Jesus people in our time, the Jesus seminar kind of people, who want to say that Jesus was just a great guy. And he did some really great things, and he was a really charismatic leader, but he's just a human. Then there are other people who want to raise Jesus so high to say he was God, and we minimize his humanity. So we don't want to think about the fact that Jesus really did get frustrated when things didn't go right, that Jesus really was joyful at the work that his apostles were doing and to see his message spreading. Jesus was truly human too. So in his humanity, he experienced everything we did. Now, why is this so important on this feast of Mary, Mother of God? Well, because in the year 431, a time when even, 300-400 years after the birth of Jesus, we're still kind of grasping with this. How is Jesus really human? Is he really God? How so? And the Council of Ephesus was called to debate these things, to figure out, what is the deal with the two natures in Christ? If they had a McDonald's back then, perhaps someone would have gone through and asked about that. And that's what they're debating. And in the course of that, the debate came to center around Mary. And the particular question that they were debating was, can we say that Mary is the mother of God? Well, today it seems pretty obvious to us that yes, of course, Mary is the mother of God. I once, had a high school student ask me when we were talking about this, "Father Sean, you're telling me that Jesus is God, right?" "Yeah, yeah." And Mary is definitely his mother, right?" "Yeah, yeah." "So if Mary's the mother of Jesus and Jesus is God, Mary's the mother of God. Why is that so hard?" Well, I mean, it does kind of make sense today. But back in 431, we hadn't quite gotten things all figured out yet. So there was a huge debate about whether we could call Mary the mother of God. Not so much a debate amongst the people. People are always called Mary, Mother of God. They're praying, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us." But a bunch of theologians got together, and that's always a dangerous thing, because all of a sudden you start debating these little fine points. And we started to say, you know what, if we're going to say Mary's Mother of God, are we saying that Mary somehow is the origin of God? Well, this made a certain bishop, Nestorius, very mad. He's like, we cannot say that Mary gave birth to God. That would be saying that Mary is somehow on the same level with God and is the origin of divinity. And so, no, we cannot say that Mary is the mother of God. This is what happens when theologians think too much. But half the people, led by the great counter-Nestorius, Cyril of Alexandria, Cyril gets up and writes all these nasty letters against Nestorius. It's really fun to read the way theologians call each other names back in the 5th century. But Cyril gets up and defends that no, Mary is definitely the mother of God. And he does it by saying that Jesus has two natures. And while it is true that Mary in no way gave origin to the divine nature, she did give birth not to a nature but to a person. Mary gave birth to a person. That person is Jesus Christ. And that person happens to be the only person in the history of the world to have two natures, one human and one divine. So if Jesus is truly a divine person, which he is, then Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is truly God. Therefore, Mary is mother of God. At the end of that council, Cyril wins out. And so the Council of Ephesus solemnly proclaims that Mary is, in Greek, Theotokos. Theos means God. Tokein means to give or to deliver. So Mary is the bearer of God, the Theotokos. So she's honored very much under that title in Greek. In Latin, we would call her Mater Dei, Mother of God. And so today, we do as they did at the Council of Ephesus. The people, when the bishops came out and solemnly proclaimed the doctrine, they danced through the streets. They went in solemn procession, yelling, Mary, Mother of God. Today, as we honor Mary, we do so not to heap undue praise upon Mary. We see that everything that God did through Mary was planned long ago. Mary, it says, brings Jesus to the temple. They give him the name Jesus, which St. Luke tells us was given him by the angel before he was even conceived. Before Mary was conceived, we know that God had a plan for her too. She was saved by Jesus ahead of time, as we celebrated on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. God prepared her. God did everything for Mary. In no way is Mary on the same level as God. But today, we rightfully sing joyfully that she is Mother of God, primarily to say something about Jesus. Because if you think about it, if we're going to say Mary was not Mother of God, like Nestorius, then what we're really saying is that Jesus was not God. When Mary gave birth to Jesus, if he wasn't God, who was he? All of a sudden, you have a big theological problem. And that's why Mary, even in theology, in some weird roundabout way, Mary, even in theology, is always the guardian and protector of orthodoxy and particularly of Jesus. Mary, if we get her right, we'll get Jesus right. If we know that Mary is the mother of God, then we won't ever be tempted to deny, as some people did, that Jesus was God. On this solemn feast day at the beginning of our new year, then, we begin with Mary, but we know that we do not end with Mary. Mary points us toward Jesus. May our whole year be lived today in union with Jesus and Mary, that we would draw ever closer to Mary, our Blessed Mother. We entrust our country, our new year, our world to her, particularly in a prayer for peace. But we know also that through her, she points toward her Son, Jesus. May she help us all this year draw closer to Jesus, her Son, for she is indeed Mother of God.